Seated. May be seated. You know, just when you think that things can't get any crazier, what do we get hit with? Breaking news. It's like you don't even want to hear that. They'll say breaking news or alert, alert. I'm tired of the breaking news and the alerts. You know, and no matter what headline it is, it's usually something that has the potential to rock our world and rock our world with fear. That's what it is, fear. And no matter how far away the trouble is, am I right? It can be all the way on the other side of the world and it still affects us. At least we're being made to feel that way, and it's fear-driven. It's fear-driven. And with all of its emotions, all the ups and downs, maybe it's time we just drew a line in the sand and said, enough, enough, I'm not putting up with this anymore. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, no matter what's happening, give thanks. Yeah, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Romans 8:28. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His plan and purpose. Thanksgiving. In everything. See, God works in all things. And He works in all things for our good. All things good or bad. See, evil is so prevalent in our world, but God is able to turn every circumstance around for our long-range good. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. This is Joseph now, and he's addressing his brothers as they had just come back and took his dad and, you know, Jacob and put him in the grave. Now they come back and they figure, okay, we're alive because daddy was alive. Now Joseph is going to be, what's he going to do? Well, anyhow, because of what they did to Joseph. But in verse 20 there, it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. God brought good from the brother's evil deed, throwing him into the pit, and then pulling him up and selling him. They sold their own brother. Then Potiphar's wife, her false accusations. The cupbearer's neglect. And then you had, 7 years of famine. The experiences in Joseph's life taught him that God brings good from evil for those who trust God. Joseph trusted God. Do you trust God enough to wait patiently for Him to bring good out of the bad situations? We can trust Him because, as Joseph learned, God can overrule people's evil intentions to bring about His intended results. That should bring you comfort in what we're going through. Not just in the world, but in your own lives. In Psalm 46, 9 through 11, he stops wars all over the world. It's what his word says. He breaks the soldiers' bows, shatters their spears, and burns their shields. Now, that could be their automatic weapons, sir. And that could also refer to the shields. They said chariots, but it could be tanks. Okay, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to look at it from what they were referring to and what they represent today. God says, stop fighting and know that I am God. I am the one who defeats the nations. I am the one who controls the world. The Lord, all-powerful, is with us. The God of Jacob is our place of safety. Thank you, Lord. So in Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to His name, O Most High. And when you notice that when you are praising, nothing else seems to matter.
You got that right,
Pastor. Nothing else seems to matter. It quenches the sound of the outside world when you're in praise and worship. But it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Every day we should give thanks to the Lord. In the morning, in the noontime, and when the sun goes down. In Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Now, in the second part of that, it says, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. That is, the promises you made to Him. Oh, God, if you do this for me, I'll make sure I don't miss one Sunday service. Or I'll be in church this Sunday. Just do this for me. And where are people at? church is almost over. Too late for me now. Yeah, it's too late for you now. You got to pay. When you make a vow to God, you make Him a promise. Hold up your end of it.
Amen. Yeah.
Yep. Because there's great reward in it for you. See, God is looking for true praise, and He's looking for true thankfulness from us. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving. We are supposed to come before Him with thanksgiving. That is Psalm 95, verse 2. Our prayers and petitions to God are to be with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, and I thank you, sir, for what you said, because you don't know how the Holy Spirit made me spin around when Timmy said what he said and what you said, Mario. Colossians 4, verse 2. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. Begin both, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. But be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. Earnest, to be sincere with intense conviction. Passionate. Unwearied, not tired. To be refreshed with energy and enthusiasm. Steadfast, with a steady and unwavering conviction. Firm belief. In James 5:16, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man and woman makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working.
Amen.
Dynamic in its working. You know what that means? With boundless energy to change things.
Amen.
Don't underestimate prayer. Make it with a passion.
Yes, sir.
Be enthusiastic about your prayer. And be unwavering. Because He hears your prayers. He hears it when it's from your heart. Those heartfelt prayers. Passionate, heartfelt, continued prayer has boundless energy to make changes. Prayer is working. Prayer is softening hardened hearts. Prayer is changing the direction of the nation. Prayer is changing the world. The earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. New Living Translation. Prayer changes everything. Our adversary, the devil, he works 24/7 putting forth lies to deceive us and to convince us that it doesn't work. It does.
Yeah.
It works. It works. Jackie, does prayer work? Her husband healed. Pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
No cure? Prayer works. Prayer changes things. Bonnie, your brother, cancer free.
Amen.
Prayer works. Changes things. You got a granddaughter who's picking up and doing things they said she wasn't going to be able to do.
Yep.
Prayer changes things.
Every day's better than yesterday.
And that's what we got to stand on. Listen, the devil's nothing but a liar. Nothing but a liar.
Yes, he is.
And you know what? He's been choking on the blood.
Yeah.
That has been running, that ran down the tree, right?
Yeah.
Now, can you just imagine, though, do you ever get a cough in it and a choking jag? He's had that for a lot of years. Can you imagine having that shoved and choking every day?
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. The blood is powerful.
Yes, it is, Pastor.
Utilize the blood. Plead the blood. Plead the blood.
Yes, sir.
Because he's been choking on it for a long time, and he's going to continue to choke. Now, in Mark 11, 24, therefore, Jesus speaking now, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them.
Yes, sir.
And you will have them. Do you believe what the Lord Jesus said right there? Those are His words. Those are His words. And that is the prayer of faith. Because when you pray, believe that you receive them. You'll pray, believe you received them. And you'll have them. Don't let another thought, because the devil's going to come in right away.
Yes, sir.
Because he's a liar. And he's a thief. And he'll come after them words. So why are people, though, so worried, stressed out, and full of anxiety? Because in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. continue to make your specific request known to God. Our prayers need to be specific and must be made with thanksgiving. Here's one of the key things I know people don't pray specifically. Got to be specific.
Yes, sir.
I've told the story that when I bought my 1988 Tracer, that I was very specific in prayer. I prayed for everything I wanted on that vehicle. I wanted 42 miles to a gallon. I just prayed in everything on that car I wanted. Except one thing I didn't pray for.
Wings.
No, I had wings on it, brother.
Right.
Some of the people tried to catch me in that little car. I had a little four-cylinder, put in fuel injected, 5-speed. Awesome little vehicle. I only got 289,000 miles out of it.
Yeah.
My brother wouldn't let me inspect it one more time. But anyhow, I didn't pray for one thing. I got everything else. I got the longevity of it, everything. I never had any major problems with that vehicle. I didn't pray for air conditioning. Man. And that's when I realized, you be specific. Because
yes,
when you're specific, God will meet you there. So if you're shooting at it and just going like this, it's not going to happen. Be specific. It's like hit the target, hit the bullseye.
Yes, sir.
You know? Jesus is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in all that what I said there, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance, situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. And then you know what happens? The next verse is yours. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours.
Yes.
Thank you. Yours.
Hallelujah.
He is Jehovah Shalom.
Yes, he is.
The Lord our peace. And Shalom refers to soundness, completeness, harmony, and the absence of strife. I saw a lot more people saying, yeah, I want that peace. I don't want strife. I don't even like strife in my house. All you got to do is stop it right then and there. A lot of times it just takes you shutting up, even though your one comment goes one way. When you respond, that's when the strife starts, because it just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes it's, even if you think, just shut up. Just shut up.
That's good counsel, Pastor.
Just shut up. You know. Pray with thanksgiving. Because it always results in answered prayer. Thanksgiving up to heaven brings down heaven's blessings.
Wow.
Okay? What if we could build ourselves a wall? A great wall of blessing. Something that could keep all the fear and panic out and only let God's goodness in. The goodness of God, that song, I like that. Your goodness is running after me. Right? It's running after me. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything because your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can you all say that with me? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew verb follow here describes an animal running in fast pursuit. His goodness is running after us. It's running after us. So when you sing that song, your goodness is running after, it is running after me. It's running fast.
Yes.
And in such pursuit that it will overtake you. God has a supernaturally backed, guaranteed way of getting us out of the fear zone and into the comfort and safety of His blessing.
Yes, sir.
But you need to know, God's not pushy. So He won't force any of this on you. It's all on you. You decide. You choose. The question is, how do you want your life to play out? How do you want your marriage to turn out? How do you want your job interview or your retirement to turn out? How about your kids, your vacation plans, your upcoming surgery, your family's business? There's no limit to how worry-free your life can be. From the end of your day to the end of your life, you get to choose.
Yeah.
Moses recounts the choice God gave the people of Israel. He said, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Oh, that you would choose life."
Yes, amen.
Oh, that you would choose life. The opportunity God offered Israel for a life full of blessing was the same He had given to Adam and Eve, which is the same available to us. We know what Adam and Eve chose, and as well as the Israelites did. And it didn't turn out so well, did it, with the choices they made? Nope. They gave in to the devil's lies, and they forfeited God's best. In fact, everyone we read about in the Bible who lost out in life came up short because of their wrong choices. They got played by the devil. He talked them into panic and worry and out of God's goodness and blessing.
Yes,
maybe you've lost out on some things on the way. Maybe you've bought into some of those lies. Again, it's your choice. Who are you going to believe? When you choose life with God, serving Him, when you were born again, you then received the blessing. That's when you received the blessing.
Yes, sir.
And not the curse.
Right.
Right. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You get the blessings, and then you get the promise of the Holy Spirit. Awesome. We are surrounded by a great wall of blessing where we can live safely inside the borders of God's goodness. It's called a wall of protection. You need a wall around the borders to protect. Okay? You get what I'm saying? If you had the border wall completed, we wouldn't be in the problem we are with that today. But that's not what we're talking about. So, but it is securing your border. Your border. Listen, Job. Job chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Satan replied to the Lord. Yes, but Job has good reason to reverently fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him. His home and his property, you have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. The wall of protection, our blessing wall, is real. It is real. And Satan, he's our number one enemy.
Yes, he is.
And he knows it. Satan's greatest frustration has always been this wall of protection, the blessing wall, that God designed to keep him at a safe distance and from wreaking havoc on our lives. There's no way for the enemy to penetrate that wall unless we choose to listen to his lies and buy into his fear tactics and let our guard down. Jesus said this about Satan, John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Basically, the devil is a con artist. That's why the Apostle Peter tells us to stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Your faith, your strong, trusting, reliance, and confidence leaning on Jesus Christ. Jesus. Satan lied his way into Adam and Eve's garden. He has lied his way into many churches. And if you let him, he will lie his way into your life. Stay alert. Stay alert. Once he's in, he will try to take you out of every one of God's blessings, bringing your wall down brick by brick.
Yeah.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The truth is, it doesn't have to play out that way, though, does it, for us? Jesus' younger brother, James, he reminds us that all we have to do is humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before God. That is something hard for a lot of people to do. Humble yourselves before God. And then what? Resist the devil, and he will flee. You'll put him on a run. A fast run from you. See, you have the power. You have the choice to choose things in your life in the way that you say, the way God says, not the way the enemy says. Work, we're taught that in Mark 11, 23. For surely, Jesus speaking again, for surely, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. Comma. He will have whatever he says. You will have whatever you say. Yeah. Why you keep saying what you have instead of what you can have, it says in the Word. Romans 4:17. We are told to call those things that be not as though they were, or they are already that way. Yeah. You can change those things.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's not the way it is. Well, that's right. Then call it the way it should be. Mm-hmm. Call it what God says it is.
Amen.
In Job chapter 3, verse 25. You know here where he had a problem? Job said, what I always feared has happened to me. What I dread has come true. Now, Amplified says it a little differently, but it's just because I think it's just a little bit more in hand. For the thing which I greatly fear comes upon me. That of which I am afraid has come upon me. After going through the ringer, the loss of all his children, his wealth, his health, Job admitted to his friends that he was through, finished. He wished he had never been born. He wished he would die. Then he confessed that everything he had ever feared might happen to him, and it did. The Job who had been a shining example of faith and love for God now was in the pit of depression. And it came down to the fact that there were some things he was afraid of. Fear in the most godly people, that little bit of fear can get in, can destroy. Well, how about you? Do you have a list, I called it a short list of fears? Things that if they happened would totally wreck your world? Probably some of you do. Whether it's a fear of bugs. And maybe it's not bugs, spiders. Yeah. How about heights? Climbing on ladders.
Yeah.
Climbing on a roof. Or being alone. Fear is a thief.
Amen.
You will not have the peace of God if you're in fear. How do I get out of fear? Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. See, because your understanding and seeing what you see in the natural.
Right.
Start seeing it from God's perspective through the supernatural. That's why we confess what we confess with there.
Yes, sir.
We are a supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. Glory be to God for that. Fear. It's a dangerous weapon in the hands of the enemy. Fear can neutralize our faith and bring our blessing wall, our wall of protection, crashing down around us. The truth is, faith in God and fear of anything cannot coexist. It's one or the other. Jesus confronted his disciples one day for this very reason in Mark 4, verse 40. If you remember, they were in a boat. And they all thought that the boat was going to be sinking and they were going to die. But Jesus was right there with them. In fact, he was napping. He was napping. And they lost it and they went to waking him up. Jesus, what are we going to do? The boat's filling with water. The waves are overtaking us. And what was his response? Because it shocked them. He said, why are you so afraid? He's probably saying that to him and the boat's going like this. There's water coming in. What are you so afraid of? He says, do you still have no faith? He was there with them in the boat.
That's right.
Now, Jesus isn't in our boat, but he's in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What do you have to fear? Because a lot of these things that even your companies come up and they threaten you with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind. And do not lean to your own understanding. He will take care of you. You honor him. You honor him. Trust in him. Yeah, that's a key thing. People right away, they want to come up and they say, well, I can fix this by myself. And then they find out that it never did get fixed right. Because they didn't go to God with it in the first place. See, you need to go to God with everything.
Amen.
What do you think you can handle, really? Comes back later on. It didn't get handled the right way. Because once it's handled in God's way, it doesn't come back again. It doesn't come back again. You cannot have faith in God and fear of any of your circumstances and expect the blessing wall to remain intact. See, it doesn't work that way. It won't. Thanksgiving up to heaven in everything, not for everything, in everything. There's a difference. Because the bad things you're going through didn't come from God. But while you're going through those bad times, you keep thanking him and he will bring you through those bad times and he will turn it into something really good for you. Because when you give the thanksgiving up to heaven, that's what brings down the blessings from heaven. And you will continually keep your borders secure with a wall of protection.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right. Yeah, you know, today...